You have your Bibles this morning. You can turn over to Genesis as we continue through our study, going through some major events of the scriptures. Genesis chapter 22 this morning, and we are continuing through. We're kind of in a mini series within a series, looking at the story of Abram and Abraham and Sarai and Sarah and the birth of Isaac. And up to this point, we've seen the faith of Abram, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Sarai and Sarah. And this morning, we're going to look at something that each of us, whether we have experienced it yet or not, at one point we will experience it, especially if we're trying to live a life that is a life lived by faith. And that is going to be the testing of our faith. And this morning we see here in Genesis chapter 22, God gives instructions for Abraham to sacrifice his only son, to give up his only son, that being Isaac here in Genesis chapter 22. And who would like to read there? It's going to be quite a few verses, but Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through, or, you know, let's break it up. Who'd like to read Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2? Mm-hmm. All right, Katie, and then Ms. Martha will have you to read the next set. Okay.
And the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee."
All right. Then Miss Martha, verses 3 through 6, please.
"And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together."
All right. And then who'd like to read verses 7 through 10? Chapter 22, verses 7 through 10. Miss Sue, go ahead.
"And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son."
All right, then I'll finish up with verses 11 through 19. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord called in the him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together, Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And so, again, here in chapter 22, what we're seeing is God's instructions to Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. And we're seeing here the faith of Abraham, not only on display, but we're seeing the faith of Abraham once, or for the first time, really, being tested. And again, if we're trying to live a life by faith, we're going to have these moments in our life where we're going to have the Lord testing that faith. Now, we know from the book of Job that that not all testings of faith are necessarily because of sin. Certainly some are, but usually, 9 times out of 10, the testing of our faith is because the Lord is trying to see, okay, are we going to glorify him? Are we going to honor him and praise him and still live for him even when things seem to be, you know, not as smooth as we think they should be? Are we going to still love and honor him and just glorify him no matter what it is that's happening? And there's a verse, I was thinking of it this week, and it talks about how when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be brought forth as gold. And so we see here Abraham, he's having his faith tested. Now, we know he's already had some faith tested by the Lord. Comes to him. He wants him to leave his family, leave his place where he lives, go to a place the Lord will tell him as he's going to the place. So the Lord doesn't even give him the full directions until he's already on the road. And so now we're seeing this faith tested again after the Lord has blessed them. Remember, they had this son, Isaac, in their old age. Abraham was, I think we said, what, 100 years old? And Sarah, she was 90, 95 years old. So they were kind of up there in age when they had this only son. And now the Lord comes to him with this instruction to sacrifice his only son. And we see that in the first two verses, God's instructions. God calls and Abraham answers God, and God instructs Abraham to sacrifice his most precious possession, which is his son. And then in verses 3-6, just like we've seen time and time again in this mini account of Abram and Abraham's life, we see Abraham's obedience. Again, Abraham obeys without discussion. You notice what it says there in verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So again, the Lord gives this instruction. And then verse number 3, it parallels what we saw a couple weeks ago. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. So again, Abraham is given this instruction by God. And again, without discussion, without delay, without hesitation, Abraham just says, okay, God said it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And so Abraham's crew, they arrive at the location. And then I love verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And then you notice what it says there in verses 7 and following, because now we see Abraham's faith on display. Verse 7, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. He says, so Isaac looks at Abraham and says, okay, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the thing we're sacrificing? Not knowing he was the sacrifice. I mean, could you imagine? You know you're going to sacrifice something, and you have all the supplies to sacrifice this thing, but it's just you and another person, and you start thinking, what's the sacrifice? And you know, you start sweating a little bit. You start getting worried a little bit because you got all the supplies and there's just the two of you, and you know you're not going to be sacrificing the other fella. So now you're thinking, okay, now I'm the sacrifice. But notice what Abraham says to Isaac there in verse number 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And so we see here, God gave the instruction, give of your only son. But Abraham answered Isaac and his questions with great faith. And his great faith was that God is going to provide himself a lamb. And Abraham's obedience, it takes him right to that edge of hardship, right to that edge of actually trying to sacrifice his son. Because you notice there, verse 9 and 10, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Abraham was going to do exactly what God told him to do. He was going to sacrifice son, even though in the previous verse, verse 8, he said by faith, God will provide himself a lamb. So he was trusting that God was going to intervene right there at that last minute, that God was going to intervene right there when all seemed lost, when all hope seemed lost, just as you're at that edge of hardship. God shows himself real. God shows himself faithful. God shows himself true. And then, of course, verses 11 through 19, we see God's intervention. We see that the Lord stops Abraham from killing his son. The Lord provides a ram for Abraham's offer. And then we see in verse number 14, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh." Jehovah Jireh just simply means the Lord will provide. And so we see Abraham's faith in God is increased even more so than it was to begin with. Now his faith is even stronger. It's strengthened. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him so much that our faith in him is strengthened, that our faith in him is increased each time we trust him. And then verses 15 through 19, God confirms his covenant. He confirms his promise with Abram. The Bible, of course, tells us in Hebrews 11, 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so there's several things this morning we want to see from this account here in Genesis 22. Number one, God must test our faith to establish that we do, in fact, trust him. God must test our faith to establish that we do, in fact, trust him. 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, testing, especially when the testing comes from God, it's a special opportunity to prove what is in our hearts. Because it's easy to say with our lips, yes, we trust God. Yes, we believe in God. Yes, we know God's going to come through. But it's a whole other thing to actually put that, you know, put feet to our faith, so to speak, to actually put that into practice. And so, yes, an omniscient God, an all-knowing God knows what is in our hearts. He knows what's there already. But testing establishes that our faith is genuine, proving it not only to ourselves, but it also helps prove it to others who can learn from our example. But it also proves it to Satan. It proves it to the devil, who the Bible tells us he's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he did to Job in Job chapter 1. Job, he had all this land. He had all this possession. He had family. He was a man that feared God. He reverenced God. He eschewed evil. He worshiped God. And Satan comes, slinking along and He says, well, does God fear you for nothing? If you take everything away from him, would he still praise you? Would he still love you? Would he still live for you? And so God says, you know what? Do what you will to him. Whatever it is you think you can do, do it to him, except you can't take his life. You can do everything except that. And so basically, God and Satan had a bet going on. They had a wager going on. And yes, throughout the book of Job, he faltered, he failed. You know, he cursed God. He cursed his friends. He cursed his family. He talked about how it would have been better if he was never born. But then towards the end, he would say something that is very profound. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then at the end of Job, the end of the chapter, the end of the book, we find Job, he got everything he lost. He got it back twofold. And that was because of his faith and his trust in God. But God must test our faith to establish that we do, in fact, trust him. And then number two this morning, obedience is what passes the test. Obedience is what passes the test. You see, when we obey, when we don't hold anything back from God, we show God that we trust him. In verse number 12 there of Genesis 22, the Bible says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And so we see that trials and troubles are the tests, and it's our faith is what is being tested, but it's the obedience that passes the test. Abraham here, he was going to sacrifice Isaac. He was going to say, okay, Lord, I may not understand it, but I know you have a plan. And he was going to do exactly what God told him to do. And then number three this morning, we must die to our dreams before God can bless them. We must die to our dreams before God can bless them. You see, Isaac was everything that Abraham had lived for. Everything. Up to this point, they had not had a child. That it was one of the one things that they had wanted, that they desired. And it's not only because he was his son, but also because he represented God's great purpose for Abraham's life. You know, a couple weeks ago, remember, we talked about God having a plan and God having a purpose for our life. And here in offering Isaac, Abraham was giving his dreams to God. Everything Abraham wanted for himself, he was willingly giving it to God and saying, okay, God, you know what it is you're doing. I'm giving these things to you. I'm giving my dreams. I'm giving my desires, my wants. I'm giving them to you. And I'm letting you figure everything out. I'm letting you figure out what is best for me. And you see, before we'll see God do anything great in our life, we have to come to the place where it seems, you know, that all of our dreams, all of our aspirations, everything we want for ourselves, you know what? They've died. And then God can do a work in our life. And then number four this morning, we see there that God's instruction never contradicts his purpose. God's instructions never contradict his purposes. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, the Bible tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So here's what I love about the story. Because even if God had Abraham go forth with the killing of Isaac, God could have just raised him up from the dead. God could have brought him forth because Abraham still did by faith what God told him to do. And if you read any account in the New Testament, we know that God, Jesus, God the Son, he blesses faith. He rewards faith. And there's an account in the New Testament about, Jairus. And Jairus gets to Jesus, and his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter is dying. And Jesus, he's trying to get to the daughter to help the daughter. And the Bible talks about how he was thronged by the multitudes. The crowd was so great, he was having a hard time getting through the crowd. And then this lady, the Bible talks about with an issue of blood from the time she was 12 years old, talks about how if all she could do was touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And so sure enough, she gets there, she touches the hem of his garment. Jesus, the Bible says, he felt kind of the spirit wash out of him. And he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" Even though he knew who touched him. And to that lady, he said, you know, he stopped, he dealt with that lady. And basically, to put it in just layman's terms, he said, "Go forth, thy faith has made thee whole." And then he finally, after stopping to deal with this lady, gets to Jairus' daughter. Well, now by this point, Jairus' daughter had died. Now, again, someone dies, we think, man, that's it. That's the end of the story. Well, Jesus, he gets there and basically says, "Fear not, she's not dead, she's just asleep." And sure enough, he brings this 12-year-old girl back to the living. And Jairus worships God. And again, he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And so, again, a lot of that has symbolism for salvation. But a lot of it also has to deal with just on a more practical level of what are you willing to allow your faith to do? What are you willing to allow your faith to accomplish? And so we see God had promised to make of Abraham a great nation. And the account in Hebrews that is recounting this account here in Genesis 22 is telling us that Abraham's faith in that promise was so strong that he knew that even if Abraham killed his son, God would have to raise him up to keep his word. And since God nearly had to raise the dead to give him a son in the first place, or again, 100-year-old, 90-year-old, I mean, they've got less years ahead of them than they had behind them. I mean, let's just, you know, I mean, you're not living another 100 years, you know, unless the Lord, you know, has that for you. But Abraham knew he could raise Isaac up if necessary. And, you know, God may ask you to do something that seems so out of line with his purpose for your life. He may ask you to do something that it goes against his plan for your life. But that's what faith is. And that's where faith comes in. And that's what faith requires us to do, to, you know, follow his orders and trust him to take care of the outcome. Give him the situation and allow him to take care of the outcome. And then fifthly and finally this morning, God knows the pain of sacrifice. God knows the pain of sacrifice. See, Abraham, or God told Abraham to offer his only begotten son, but then stopped him from having to go through with it. But God gave his only begotten son as a sacrifice for us, and he did go through with it. And so you see, when God asks you to trust him, and when God asks you to sacrifice something in your life, a couple things you have to realize is, number one, your sacrifice and my sacrifice is never as great as the sacrifice that he made for us in sending Jesus to die on Calvary. But then the second thing we need to realize is that when Jesus does ask us to sacrifice something, that he understands the pain of sacrifice. He understands what it is to ask us to give something up, because he gave up his only begotten son for our salvation. And so we see this morning the faith of Abraham. Yes, it was tested, but he passed the test with flying colors. And the question is, when we're tested and when our faith is tested, will we pass the test? Will we come forth as gold. And I hope we will this morning. When God tests us and he wants us to trust him, I hope this morning we'll do just that. I hope we'll have that faith that is so strong that nothing can shake it. That no matter what happens in our life, we're going to trust God no matter what. Now listen, I realize that's easier said than done sometimes, because life throws so much at us, but God is there with us each step of the way. And all we have to do is learn to trust him and keep that faith. And so let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning.